It says in Deuteronomy 5:16, it says this, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. How many of you can give me an amen this morning? It's really important to have mom happy when you're a kid. I mean, some of you might have heard this little phrase, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. Of course, a loving mom don't really mean that. She would never take you out. But we all know it's important. And I'm pretty sure Moses wasn't thinking about this when God gave him that promise. But he said, honor your father and your mother that you may live long and it may go well with you. If mama's happy, it goes a lot better at home. Amen? So here's the deal. How do we capture the benefit of the promise of honoring our mothers today? I read this week that there will be $31.6 billion spent on Mother's Day this weekend in America. $31.6 billion. But what's the greatest way to honor mom? I just want to talk to you about that just for a moment. Then I'm going to have Pam Juergens come up here and share with us today. You know, some people have wondered who that the sculptor of the Statue of Liberty, who did he use as a model? And they started looking around and found photos of the sculptor's mom. And it is remarkable how much the Statue of Liberty resembles the sculptor's mom. Evidently, that's the one of the ways he honored his mom. And so many of you, you'll cook dinner or you'll take mom out to dinner or whatever, you bought flowers, et cetera, et cetera. But how do we honor mom? I think one of the best ways to honor mom is to celebrate maybe the unseen, unappreciated things they do day by day. I want you to watch a video with me.
Got a box for you to sign for?
Great, just put it right there.
What is it you guys do?
You don't know?
Know what?
Of course you don't know. I guess that's the point of all this.
I'm sorry, you lost me.
We monitor and collect every unnoticed service, sacrifice, or deed that moms do for their families. Oh, please. Melissa Richardson from Franklin, Ohio, just cleaned Sam and Charlie's room. Neither will notice.
What, that just happened?
4 minutes ago.
Where did she get that information?
Well, I'm not really allowed to say, but you know, here and there.
Okay.
Here comes another one. Sarah Pfeiffer from Long Beach, California, just made her 100th lunch in a row without a thank you, Mom. Haley Cobb from Jefferson, Texas, just did her daughter's forgotten chore milking the goat. Gross. And last but not least, Jennifer Wright cleaned the whole house, top to bottom, and her husband didn't notice. Oh, and we have video.
You have video?
Check it out.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
How was your day?
Pretty busy.
Oh, yeah?
What do you think?
What do I think about what? Hang on, I gotta get this. McGuire!
He didn't even notice.
So, do you do this for dads as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just a smaller division.
Dads don't do good things for their kids?
Oh, no. They do lots of good things. It's just moms do an exorbitant amount of unnoticed things.
So, how many people do what you do?
Well, this office has 3 shifts, 8 hours a shift, so 3 of us.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's it.
So you probably run into a lot of unnoticed acts.
And that's just this office. There are over 5,000 offices worldwide doing exactly what we do. They just keep coming in today. Treated and bandaged to skin knee. We see this one a lot. It's unbelievable.
I wonder if any of my moms are in there.
What's your full name?
Akron Lanier Watson.
A-K-R-O-N?
Yeah.
Wow, looks like your mom's got a lot in there.
Really?
Yeah, typical stuff. Doing lots of laundry, cooking, cleaning. And your mom worked part-time.
She did.
Well, it looks like. Wow.
What?
Your mom also prayed for you.
She prayed for me.
A lot. Well. Looks like you picked a good mom.
Yeah, I picked it.
All right. Thank you, Mom, for all the things we haven't noticed. I just want to give you two or three thoughts here, and then I'm going to ask Pam Jurgens to come up and share her heart with you. Couple of thoughts. One is when you nurture and train and serve your children, whether newborn or grown and gone. How many of you got grown and gone kids? Yeah, me too. My wife too. Whether they're newborn or grown and gone, God notices. Amen? I know sometimes it's very easy to think nobody appreciates some stuff. I just want you to understand, ultimately, we're playing to an audience of one. And although I know, Mom, you want your husband and your kids to notice, I'm telling you, God notices, and none of that's gone unnoticed in His sight. And I want to say thank you, because God is watching. It says in Matthew 6, 3 and 4, it says, and this is Jesus talking about the things we do that go unnoticed, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. Some versions say reward you openly. The second thought is this. In those moments when you're serving unnoticed, you're being like Jesus. You're being like Jesus. You're modeling the love of God. And evidently, that's pretty important to God. In John chapter 13, Jesus is about to say goodbye to His disciples. And it says in the first couple of verses, having loved His own, He loved them to the very end. And then He washed their feet. The Lord of the universe washed Judas's feet. And He says this to them, I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. And even if nobody notices, God notices. And when you love like that, you are modeling the love of God in a way that will make an impact at some point. Amen? And then I have a challenge for you. And this little video said this real well. Add to your unnoticed service the gift of prayer. Because after all the diapers are changed, all the lunch is fixed, all the skint knees kissed and bandaged, all the tears wiped, without consistent prayer, you've left one of the most important things undone. No gift is greater or more strategic than you praying for your children. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world, and they still had issues with their kids. And I know that, here's what I know. Prayer reaches wherever your child goes, into whatever circumstance that you can't go. Prayer reaches beyond your ability to protect or direct your children's welfare. Prayer goes beyond that. Because there comes a time when you can't be there. There comes a time when you can't make sure they do what they ought to do. There comes that time. But prayer goes beyond your natural ability to direct or protect your children. And every good mom wants to do both. And so I want to challenge you today, if you're not doing it, to pray consistently for your kids. Many a young adult has come home with addiction and rebellion to hearing a godly mother praying their name to heaven. And it will make an impact. It will make an impact. And some of you, maybe you've never been in those shoes, but there's people sitting here, you have been in those shoes. And I just want you to know that God will respond to the cry of a mother's heart. No mom has all the answers. No mom is perfect. And, you know, I just want to say this. You know, what we can do is we can pray. When we can't do anything else, we can pray. Amen? Amen. I want to just say something to all of you ladies today. I know that there are women sitting in this room right now. You never had the privilege of having children. And there's a certain, maybe unfulfilled desire there, a certain pain there. I just want you to know God knows. God sees. And then there's some of you sitting here. I'm looking at one lady. She just lost her mother just a month or so ago. Some of you missed your mom very badly. She's passed on. I want you to know God sees that. He hears that pain today. Maybe there's some of you sitting here, you're estranged from your mom. I want you to know God sees that and feels that pain, and He cares about you today. Mother's Day is a painful day for some ladies. And so I just want you to know God knows. God knows, and God cares. Amen. Some of you may find yourself on Mother's Day particularly asking yourself why about a lot of those things. Why? Well, Pam Jurgens is going to come. Pam, if you would go ahead and come on up. She feels like the Lord has put it on her heart to talk about that question, why? And it's not just for moms, it's for all of us. So would you give her a hand this morning?
This is really difficult for me. I need the anointing of the Lord, and I've been praying for it. I first felt like the Lord spoke to me to do this last September, and I've been praying about it ever since. If you see sweat pouring off of me, let's call that the glow. Because this is not my comfort zone to be in. But the Lord has really laid something on my heart. It started out beginning with the fact that I have stories about the Lord and what He's done in my life. And I've been so blessed by what God has done in my life. He has showed up in powerful ways over and over and over. And I could probably talk, I don't even know how many hours, because I have 40 some odd years of stories to tell. And it was hard to decide what stories to tell today. So I've put a lot of prayer into this. I pray that you don't leave here today and walk out the door and say to your spouse or your friend or whoever you're with, what'd she say? What was it about today? Because sometimes we come to church and we leave and we go, what was that? Because I know that what I am going to tell you today, God has put that on my heart and you need to hear it. And maybe there's only one point in everything I say that touches your heart, but don't just let it lie there. Do something with it. Anybody ever heard of a promise book? Promises of God? They have a lot of them. Little books that you can buy have all the promises of God. You know, when you get one of those books, it has just really great things in there that God promised to do for us. Anybody ever seen one of those promise books that tells you all the other promises, that if you don't do it, this is what you get? Have you ever seen a book like that? Nobody writes that book. But do you know something? God keeps his promises. And he keeps all his promises. And we have a responsibility when we come to know the Lord that we do those things that give us God's good promises on our life. If we don't do them, don't expect God's blessing. Because he keeps all his promises. He keeps all of them. Our country right now is experiencing things because we have not done what was required to be doing. And you know, when you do what's required, you don't get a thank you. Bible says we've just done what's required. But we haven't done what's required, and we're reaping what we've sown. And times are going to get worse. Bad news, but times in our society and all over the world, we Americans are so spoiled that we think that it's just here. But it's not just here. It's all over the world. God has been taken out and booted out of everywhere. So times aren't going to get better when it comes to our society. It's crumbling. But we as Christians, there's something different about us. And God doesn't leave us, and he doesn't forsake us. So, when something happens to you, and I sometimes wish there was some way for me to take the peace of God that I feel and just be able to take it out of here sometimes and just give it to someone, because people don't have peace. And in this world, the only place you're going to have peace is in here. There's no peace out there. The peace is in your own heart. And I'd like to share some things and hopefully give you just a hunger to have that peace in your own heart if you don't have it. When something bad happens to you, and you go, why? Why is this happening to me? And sometimes your own mind says, I don't deserve this. And sometimes friends come alongside you and say, you don't deserve this. You're a nice person and you don't deserve this. You know something that happens to me every time I hear the word deserve? I go, I have this burst of gratitude because the Lord has spoken to me. No, you don't deserve that. You deserve to go to hell, but you don't have to because Jesus died for me. And if it says you deserve a break today, the first thing comes to my mind is, I don't deserve that. I deserve to go to hell, but I don't have to because Jesus made a way for me to go to heaven. I don't have to go to hell. And that's the devil saying, you don't deserve that. Because it rains on the just and the unjust. And there's going to be things come into our lives. And how we react and what we think about it when those things come, that's our testimony. Because we're different. We're not like the rest of this world. So years ago, my mother was dying of cancer. It's been 35 years. And I was helping my dad take care of her the last 6 months of her life, and it was horrendous. At the same time, I had a little boy, 5 years old, had been severely abused, and we had adopted him. And at 5 years old, he was still standing outside the bathroom door when I went in the bathroom. I mean, he was clingy. And it was very hard on him for me to be gone and to be with my mother, taking care of my mother. So this one day, I am driving home from my mother's house. She lived an hour and a half away. I think it was probably a Friday afternoon because I used to go home on the weekends and cook for the week and take care of things at home and then go back. And it was getting toward the end and it was rough. And so when I left my mother, she cried. And I'm on the way home, and I know that I'm going to be there a couple of days and then go back, and then this little boy, he's going to cry because I'm leaving him. And I was really torn. What am I going to do? And I was driving down the road, and I was crying, and I was saying, God, why? Why? And I heard the Lord so clearly speak to me, I'm trying to make you like Jesus. Now, I don't know if when you have some, the Lord speaks something to you, if you realize that he can say this much, and it means this much, you know? It's a big thing when God says just, sometimes just a couple of words, and he gives you this huge meaning for what he says to you. And over the years, he has just expanded the meaning of that over and over to me. He's just trying to make me like Jesus. You know, I like to say that it's God's bottom line. We put value on things, but that's God's bottom line is, he's trying to make me like Jesus. And that's what he cares about. Does God care if you're happy? I don't think so. Not the way we think happiness. God cares if I'm joyful in my salvation. But he does not necessarily care if I'm happy, because circumstances are what make you happy. You can have real happy circumstances, and I can have real sad circumstances and still have the joy. But circumstances don't determine whether I'm joyful or not. The Lord wants to make me like Jesus. I'm just going to use a couple scriptures here. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "And so we are transfigured much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him." And that's God's plan, that we become like him, more and more like him every day. 1 John 3:2 says, "But we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him." And Romans 8:28, the scripture says, "All things work together for the good of those who love him." We stop with that a lot. Christians like to recite that. All things work together for good. I want to tell you right now, I've lived a long time and I've been through a lot of things. And some of them didn't look good at all. It wasn't good to me, in my way of thinking. That scripture doesn't end there. The next part of the scripture actually describes who I am. It says that we, all things work together for my good, basically, because then that next part describes who I am. But then in verse 29, it tells you why. Why do things work together for my good? To transform me, to conform me to the image of Jesus. That's why they're working together for my good. Not so I'll be happy, not so everything works out and everything turns out good. My mother died 35 years ago. It didn't really turn out good. Not in the worldly way of thinking. But in God's economy, if I became more like Jesus through that circumstance, it was well worth it to him. And that may be hard to understand, but it's worth it to God to do whatever it takes to make you like Jesus. Now, while I was there with my mother, I can tell you now that I had some of the most exciting, best experiences of my life while my mother was dying. My mother was Orthodox. Y'all may not know what that is, but similar to Catholic, only more so. I mean, they got the statues, they got the saints, the whole deal. And she believed that when you died, you just were put in the grave, and you just stayed there. And you stayed there until maybe some 5,000 years from now, there was a resurrection, and then you got raised. So during this time that I'm with her, the Lord allowed me to really minister to my mother, to talk to her, to share with her the gospel, to share with her that when you die, the moment, the second you die, you go to be with the Lord. I was just able to really share with her a lot of things. But as she's laying in the bed, and I am sitting in a chair next to the bed, neighbors and friends and relatives came to visit. And when they visited, I was able to share with them Jesus over and over and over. It was an exciting time. There was a neighbor that came that was said that she had not been to church ever, but she had a friend who was inviting her to go to a Universalist Unitarian church. And I was able to share with her why that wasn't a good idea and to share the gospel with her. And she sat there in my mother's bedroom and she cried and she said, I remember when I was a little girl going to church with my grandmother. Now, we're talking about an elderly lady, probably was my age, but I thought she was old as water at the time. Anyway, she cried and she remembered. She remembered seeds planted by her grandmother when she was a little girl. And God used that to have her believe what I was saying to her and not go to some church that believes we're one with the cosmos. And I was blessed that God would use me. Then another lady that lived in the neighborhood, her husband was dying, and she was taking care of him. And she had come to visit my mother, and I just heard the Lord tell me I was supposed to go visit this lady. So I went to her house, and her husband was laying in a hospital bed in a fetal position. Little tiny, he'd just been laying there a long time. She said to me, I don't know why he hasn't died. He hasn't responded to anything. To touch, to her voice. He hasn't eaten. He hadn't had anything to drink. He's just laying there in this fetal position, still breathing. I don't know why he's still alive. Well, I had talked with her and I shared about Jesus with her and I told her, I need to pray for your husband. She says, he won't know that you're praying. I said, doesn't matter. I feel like I'm supposed to pray for him. So I went in there to his bed and I stood there and I took his hand and I said, I believe your spirit is still in here, sir. And God would have taken your breath if he was done with you. So I'm going to pray with you. And I started to pray and I prayed the whole gospel. You know, Jesus died for your sins and prayed the whole gospel and asked the Lord to forgive his sins and to come into his heart. And the man had tears rolling down his cheeks. And I cried and his wife cried because he hadn't responded to anything for so long. And I know why he was still alive. It was because God put me there because my mom was dying. God put me right in the right place at the right time so that man would hear what I had to say and would receive salvation before he died. He did die very soon after that. I don't remember exactly how many days, but that's why he hadn't died yet, because God knew that I was going to be there and he was going to use me to lead that man to Jesus. So why? Why did my mom have to go that way and why? Well, I believe God uses every circumstance and it was worth it to God that one man, you know, he leaves the 99 and he goes after that guy. And that guy was in that. And when you see some old poor old soul and you think they don't know what's going on and maybe they're totally out of their mind, don't hesitate to talk to their spirit. Because I know that man's spirit was still in there and he heard me and he prayed with me and he's in heaven now. Like I said, I cried and he cried. So God uses those circumstances to make me like Jesus. And when you're asking why, remember, all things work together for good to make me like Jesus. The second thing the Lord laid on my heart was that those things happen in my life to either bring me or someone else closer to God. Back in 1985, our 17-year-old son was hit by a car. He was in a coma for about 3.5 weeks, and they didn't expect him to live. The car had hit him and bounced him up. His head had banged on the windshield or the windshield wiper or something, and he had a cerebral hemorrhage at the brain stem. And the neurosurgeon said there was nothing they could do for him except they would give him some steroids and things to try to keep the brain from swelling. But the bleed was in the center of his brain, and there was no way to do any kind of surgery to relieve pressure or any of those things you hear about. And basically, the neurosurgeon said to me, just pray. And also, his leg had been broken in 3 places, and part of it was kind of crumbled bone. And they put a cast on his leg, but they didn't set his leg or anything because they didn't expect him to live, and you don't fix people's leg that isn't going to live. I can tell you that during that time, that was one of the best times of my life because I got to see God do incredible things. I was in the intensive care waiting room, and I witnessed everybody that came in there, and God used me incredibly during that time. And I was in that hospital long enough that people came to that waiting room from other places in the hospital and asked me, would I please come and pray for their person that was in a bed somewhere. It was incredible. It was an incredible time. I saw God do really neat things during that time. One of the neatest was, if you don't know, your brainstem controls your breathing and your heart rate and all those kind of things, just your bodily functions. I don't know that much about it, but I know enough to know that my son was dying, and I could go into the intensive care unit. They only let you visit so many minutes every couple hours or whatever. They let me walk in and out as I pleased. I went in that anytime I wanted, because if he was having a particularly hard time, which he didn't know, he was in a coma, but he's hooked up to all these monitors, and I would walk in there, and I would put my hands on him, and I would pray in his heart rate. I could watch my prayer get answered on that monitor. I could put my hand on him and pray, and his heart rate would go up, and his breathing would get normal, and I would stand there and pray, and they'd let me stand there and pray for as long as I wanted. Because he just was calm, and God just used me, and I was blessed. We didn't know if he was going to die, and I didn't know if he was going to die, so I prayed, and I asked the Lord, don't let him die until I know where he's going. He'd been a horribly rebellious teenager. Let me know where he's going. Don't let him die first. So I was pretty, didn't matter what they said to me. He's not going to die because I don't know where he's going, and I've asked God, and he can't die. Well, I'm standing there next to his bed. He's still in the coma, and all of a sudden, he started talking to God in front of me, asking God to forgive him for how rebellious he'd been. And it was like, oh, he's going to die. Because that's the only thing I'd prayed for. And God showed me, oh, so maybe he is going to die. Well, let me just tell you, I could talk so long about this and I'll run out of time, but I'm gonna tell you that he didn't die. As a matter of fact, the accident happened on September 15th. He was in a coma till the first part of October, middle of October. And he came out of the coma. I'd had a woman come. If God tells you to go talk to somebody, you go talk to them and you tell them what God said, even if it makes no sense to you or even if you are afraid to say that. If God tells you to say it, you say it. Because this brave woman came to the waiting room and she came from a prayer meeting across the road from the hospital. And she walked in and she said, is there someone here whose son was run over by a car? And I said, yes. And she came over to me and she said, we were praying this morning and the Lord told me that you would be here and he told me to tell you there will be no permanent damage. Every time it looked like there was going to be permanent damage, all I could hear was God saying there'll be no permanent damage. And so when he came out of the coma some and they're sitting him up in a chair and they got him strapped in and his hands are all like this and his brain is still swollen and he's drooling and he looks like this is, and the nurses are saying go home because it's going to be a long recovery. All I could hear was no permanent damage. Going to be no permanent damage here. All right, he comes out of the coma, gets to be October 15th, month after the wreck, and we have taken him to a different hospital where the orthopedic surgeon's going to fix his leg. So he goes in, he has surgery on his leg. They put screws in and all kinds of things and put it in traction inside of this real heavy cast and what have you. Doctor says to me, orthopedic doctor, it'll probably be 8 months. Because his bones were, his leg was broken in 3 places and it was pretty drastic. Probably be 8 months he'll be in a cast. That orthopedic doctor wanted me to come back to his office every week after the first week when the first checkup. Because he would take me into the back and he would show me this x-ray he'd just done and he'd say, look at that, look at that. They called it cuticle. I don't know what cuticle has to do with the bone, but anyway, after just days, you could see the bone shape where it wasn't shaped like a bone, where it had been broken so bad. You could see the outline of a regular bone shape. And he would say, look at that. I've never seen that, he'd say. I've never seen that happen. My son had his leg fixed October 15th. Supposed to be in this cast and in rehab for at least 8 months. On December 15th, he went back to work as a plumber's helper. God healed him totally. No permanent damage. So, was God okay with my son getting hit by a car? Was God okay with that? I have to ask myself. He laid down his life for me. Will I lay mine down for him? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to God? If it's worth it to God, shouldn't it be worth it to me? Shouldn't I care enough that people come to know Jesus that it's worth it to me? If that's how God brings somebody to the Lord, it should be worth it to me. Can I count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations? because God's using that. He's using that to make me like Jesus, or he's using that to bring somebody else. And that's God's economy. That's what God cares about. You know, we get caught up in a lot of little everyday stuff. But does God care about the everyday stuff? Sure he does. I could go on and tell you stories about it, about how he showed up in just the little everyday things. I have seen God grow new skin. I have seen bones healed. I've seen the Lord do all kinds of incredible things. And I, like I said, I could talk forever. And the third point is, will God receive glory? From what you're going through, is God going to be glorified? You know, he let a guy in the Bible be blind from birth so God would be glorified. Why do we think he wouldn't allow things into our lives so that he will be glorified? Because that's the bottom line. Is God getting the glory? So, how his grace carries me through what I'm going through should make even unbelievers take notice of God. He should be glorified. He should be glorified. There's one more testimony that I'm going to give this morning. One more thing. If you want to see God do miracles and you haven't seen them yet, you got to start praying for the little stuff. How do you expect to have faith for the big stuff if you don't pray for the little stuff? I might have to give more than one testimony because I got so many going around in my brain right now. But I said I've seen new skin grow. One time our son got cut. We were out in the car driving to the beach, and his toe got cut. He jumped out of the car barefoot in a store parking lot and cut his foot. I didn't have a Kleenex in the car. I didn't have a Band-Aid, didn't have a Kleenex, didn't have an old rag. I didn't have anything, and this little toe is cut and bleeding. And this little boy was about 2 or 3, and he knew that God healed everything. And I could really tell you about the things God healed him from. But anyway, so I sat him on my lap. Back then, we didn't use car seats. I sat him on my lap, and I said to him, now you watch, because he's crying. And whatever. I said, now you watch, because God is going to grow new skin on your toe, because I don't have a Band-Aid. And so I prayed, and I said, God, show yourself mighty and grow new skin on this little toe. Do you know, we were 15 minutes from Daytona Beach or New Smyrna or wherever we were going. And by the time we got to the beach, that little boy and I watched God grow new skin on his toe. The cut was gone. And God will do the same thing for anyone and everyone who has the faith to believe him for it. He does it. I've seen him do it over and over and over. But you know something that it takes? None of that, none of anything I've said and none of the other testimonies that are going around in my mind happened before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I highly recommend it. And I'm going to give you one more testimony. We were trying to adopt a little boy, and we had a lawyer as we were going to court. Back then, the state of Florida did not want foster parents to adopt. So we had to fight the state to get this little boy. And so we had a lawyer. The state had about 6 lawyers. The parents of the child had a lawyer, and the child had a lawyer. Boy, the lawyers really won on this deal, I'll tell you. Anyway, our lawyer was this Christian guy. He was a Baptist. nice Christian man, been a Baptist his whole life kind of thing. And he was working real hard for us, trying to convince the court. But we were in a place where the social workers and lawyers and whatever, the social workers had gone to court and they said I wasn't going to be a good mother and I shouldn't have this child because I was a lesbian. Back then, that was not a good thing to be. And they lied about me about all kinds of things, and they just told the judge all this horrible stuff about me. And so our lawyer was really struggling and fighting all of this, the state. And so one day the Lord spoke to me in my prayer time, and he told me to call the lawyer's office and to tell him, his name was Ted, tell him to read Psalm 35. I read Psalm 35. I have no idea why God wanted him to read Psalm 35. But that's what the Lord told me. And so I called his office. His wife was his secretary, and I told her, tell Ted to read Psalm 35. The Lord told me that he needed to read that. And they thought I was a little nuts, but by this time they had heard the whole testimony of this little boy. So they, okay, well... And so she told him to read Psalm 35. She said, she later told me that he took his Bible, went in his office and shut the door and told her not to disturb him. He was reading Psalm 35. Somewhere in that psalm and during his time in his office, God spoke to him what to do in our case. And by the way, that ended any problem we had, and we adopted the boy. But what it did for Ted was, how did she know that God would speak to me through this? And it made him question, and he immediately came out of his office, said to his wife, I've got to get filled with the Spirit. I am going to that Pentecostal church down there, and I'm going to get filled with the Spirit. And he got in his car, and he got filled in the Spirit on his way. And I'm telling you, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's really the answer. That's the answer to it all. So unless you want me to keep talking, because I got a whole mind full of more testimonies, but...
You know, I just want to go back and recap what she said, and it's this. What's the bottom line? What's the bottom line? What's God after? How does he want to work in our lives? And when we go through times, we can't find out why. At least we ought to go to those three things. In the midst of the worst situation that we can't seem to change, and God hadn't changed yet, I think those three questions are good things to ask. How can I become more like Jesus in the middle of this? How can I lead others to Jesus in the midst of this? And how can God be glorified as I'm going through this, whatever your this is? Amen? I want all of the moms to stand up, if you would, and we're going to pray a prayer over you. And families, particularly husbands, if you would, just reach over and put your hand on that dear mom that's nearest you, and if you're not near anybody like that, some of you moms, lay your hand on the next mom over to you. Let's pray that God would give our mothers grace, because you know what? There's mothers standing right here. You're going through stuff, and you don't know why. Amen? You don't know why. You don't know why God hasn't done your miracle yet. You don't know. And maybe you're weary of praying. Maybe you're weary of asking the question deep down in your soul, why? I just want to assure you, God knows, and God's with you, and he wants to bring you through. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we pray for mom today. We thank you for the special grace, the special strength, and the special love, God, that you have ordained that moms operate in. And sometimes it seems like nobody notices. And sometimes it seems like their tender, loving heart is hurt so deeply by things they can't control, I pray today that you would bring new hope. I pray that today you would bring new strength. I pray that today you would renew their love and renew their confidence that you are with them, you are for them, and God, you will be glorified in the midst of those situations that just seem to go on and on and on, or they seem to have no solution. You are still the same God that took down giants and divided Red Seas. You're still the same God that fed 5,000 people out of one meal. You're still that God. You're still the God who heals somebody that's been in a car accident. You're still the God who heals the brain stem and brings out of comas. You're still the God that grows new skin. You're still that God, and you're that God for all of these moms today. And we ask you, bring a new assurance. Bring a new assurance, and we thank you in advance in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Love one another. Tell mom you love her and appreciate her today. God bless you.